sir?
I will not talk about parking.
Or traffic, please.
My name is Eric Wattman. I live in Belter community in Lewis, like many other residents. Thank you for hanging in here with us tonight. According to the site plan for the proposed development, the use of an underground infiltration system will be employed to divert stormwater runoff in order to mitigate the risk of flooding and protect the surrounding water supply. This would seem to be a challenge in areas where there's a presence of impermeable soil and a high water table. But that aside, my independent research on infiltration systems suggests that routine inspections and maintenance are critical for maintaining the integrity of these systems over time. Therefore, the site plan should include all accountable parties who will be responsible for performing these important functions on an ongoing basis. There were two university studies maybe 20 years ago, and I think they were refreshed. Up to 50% of underground infiltration systems fail within 5 years because after the developer does their thing and walks away, nobody's accountable for doing ongoing inspections and maintenance. And if there's costs, significant costs associated with that, the surrounding HOAs have picked up the tab. So that is a huge concern. Of critical importance, it's unclear as to how the proposed site will handle overflow from the underground infiltration system during a major storm event without putting the nearby resident communities at risk. That is, there is no clear plan for how and where pipe outfalls will be used to properly divert stormwater runoff.
They did address that during the public hearing.
I heard conceptual. I didn't hear specific because Belter, right across the street, has a drainage pipe on
right.
The agricultural area. And it's unclear to us, you know, how that's going to be diverted. There's nothing specific in the plans that I read.
What they testified was it was going to ultimately go into a DLDOT pipe with the 100-year flood, if I'm recalling correctly, Mr. Fortunato.
Take that as a given, but okay. Yeah. So stormwater management.
And they have a lot of people with jurisdiction over them with stormwater management. For Sussex County Soil Conservation District and DNR and all of that will be looking at these plans as well to make sure that what they're proposing will actually be functional. And if it's not, then they do have to fix it.
Okay. Another point, I believe as the plans are currently constituted, will all five of the traffic circles, assuming that tractor trailers or large trucks are going to use all those circles, it's my understanding that there is an easement off of Plantation Road that may prohibit that. So I just want to state that for the record.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Oh, no, you've already been up, haven't you?
I did.
No, the one trip, sorry. Okay, yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Stephanie Setti. I live in Welch's Pond, which is up on Cedar Grove. I'm just curious, that circle that we're talking about at Cedar Grove and Mulberry, it kind of got brushed over. We never got a concrete answer. When is that going to happen? How does that happen? Because that intersection right now is pretty small to put even a one-lane circle roundabout in. Does anyone have
Is that your only question? If you'd like to have a seat, we'll try to get an answer for you. Thank you, ma'am.
Nicole Klein with Bowman. The intersection that she's referring to, the roundabout, is a TID improvement. So that was planned by DLDOT. They have selected certain improvements within the TID that this applicant will need to construct as part of their development construction. So that is one of them.
And that is part of it. Okay.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Can I ask a question real quick on that? Applicant, if this all goes through, would have to construct it, but would that be under the umbrella of a DLDOT project?
No. When DLDOT requires the applicant to construct a TID improvement, then that becomes fully an applicant project. But so DLDOT will only review the design. It would not be completed as a DLDOT-funded and state-run project.
Well, I guess that leads to the next question. I think it was implied, I'm not sure, but that intersection at Mulberry Knoll and Cedar Grove Road is not anywhere near the applicant's property, and I think the statement was that the, I don't know, the right-of-way width, the pavement widths there are small. How does the applicant acquire the land to put in a roundabout if there's not sufficient room within the DLDOT right-of-way to do that? If it's a private TID project that's being built with private money by a developer?
That is part of the applicant's responsibility. So, you know, we can't speak yet to all the details of those what we call off-site improvements. Right. But at this point, DLDOT has said that this applicant needs to build that off-site improvement. We will have to design it and look at all of those details. If, you know, certainly the road's going to need to be widened. That will be on the applicant. During design, we will determine if there is sufficient right-of-way to accommodate that full design or not.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition?
Along those same lines as it came, all this lady's coming forward, just so everybody understands how this works with DLDOT roads and rights-of-way, because there was concern about the impact of this development on unrelated private properties on the, what would that be, the south side of Mulberry Knoll Road, and like the intersection we just spoke about. Just so everybody's clear on this, DLDOT and the applicant, especially the applicant, but DLDOT also, they can't just go and construct a roadway or get an easement on anybody's property without that property owner's agreement, or if it's a DLDOT project, without going through eminent domain, which involves a court process and everything else. So, I don't want anybody to have any misconceptions that, you know, that just all of a sudden there's going to be a roadway in their front yard without them having some say-so, because you either have to agree to it and sell it at whatever price you can agree to for either an easement or for them to acquire the land, or you go through a court process with appraisals and everything else where you're paid for the value of the land. I think probably everybody knows that, but I don't want everybody to assume that this stuff can happen without the input of the parties affected by it. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Tracy Denton. I live in Belterre as well. And the last comment just prompted this question. So as we're residents, I know you know our concerns, but answers like that don't make us feel any better, right? It seems like there's gonna be a lot of improvements, a lot of circles, some road widening happening, but there's no real firmness here. The fear now in me is that they're gonna build the shopping center and some of this other stuff is gonna fall through and
not gonna
be
happen,
built
I can tell you.
For till 2045. Yeah. No, that little tiny bridge on Route 24, two-lane bridge, that is not gonna be widened until 2024 is what I heard.
Yeah, that was last year.
2045, sorry, 2045.
We would love if it were 2024.
Yeah, me too. 2045,
well,
right?
Well, I can assure you that DLDOT holds the cards. So if they don't do what they're supposed to do, they will hold permits.
Okay.
I know that for a fact.
That is a little bit better. I think you're hearing us. It's not that we resist change. God knows I love shopping, and these shops are amazing, but I really think this is not the place for it. You've heard this. I mean, we asked the developer, have you looked at any other locations? And I believe his main answer was, well, you have to have land that's for sale. You have to be near a major highway or an arterial roadway. I can assure you, Mulberry Knoll is neither of those things, and Route 24 is barely a highway. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your work. Thank you for letting us come and speak today.
Thank you. Okay, who else? You've already been up, sir.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, we have the tight rule.
Yeah.
Well, this lady's coming up, too. One thing that I also wanted to point out, you know, with the statement that I made or with Mr. Whitehouse's explanations or the chair's explanation, and particularly DLDOT, you know, we're not taking sides on this, and I hope nobody construes it that way. You know, we look at this because a lot of times we're here every other Wednesday and there's a full house, you know, but most times when folks come here, it's their one time in front of us. So we do try to explain things about how the process works. DLDOT's here to explain their work, not because they're advocates for the project. I don't want anybody to think that because we're explaining something that we're bent towards a project or not. I just hope that that's understood by everybody and clear on the record.
Just trying to be transparent.
Yeah, that's not the intention. So anyhow, And I shouldn't talk anymore because it's just making it later and later. So.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Bunting Hudson. I live at 21632 East Bridge Loop in Welch's Pond. And I really just want to highlight two safety issues. I'm a homegrown kid, went to Indian River High School, and have been gone for a few decades. I'm well aware of some of the healthcare access issues, and I came back 2 years ago to try to help really make some big differences in the state in terms of healthcare. That being said, I just want to remind us that in terms of hurricanes or storms, that the pattern of egress from the beach is Route 9, Route 1, and 24. 24, as far as I understand, was still an LOSD, and the prediction is that will be an E or an F. My second reminder, if you think about just a circle, there is no other 2 to 3 mile radius in all of Sussex County that has two schools, a hospital campus, let alone adding in the police barrack and the number of HOA neighborhoods that you've heard about. To those of you who may not be aware, you know, BB has been landlocked. They've built the Abyssinio campus. That is literally, you know, within a mile of Atlantic Fields' proposed growth. That campus really has grown after the 2019 future land use was drafted. The plan, which is only semi-public, was to move labor and delivery to an additional floor on the Abyssinio. And as an OBGYN, I'm a little bit concerned about delivering more kids in the cornfields around here. So I just want you to know that the plan has been for growth, growth of different types. And just be very aware that this parcel of land, and which you know is going to make traffic worse, will create congestion, not just that's an inconvenience for some that live nearby, but a medical and a healthcare issue that may influence what can be done on that Abyssinio campus that's grown nicely to include the tunnel center and some really key services for local people in the area. Thanks.
Did you speak already?
No.
Okay. It's been a long night. I can't remember who's been up and who hasn't.
Hi, everyone. My name is Randy Barnhart, and I live in Belterre, Lewis, Delaware, of course. And while I was sitting here, I came up with a couple of questions. They're kind of technical, and that is, what are the setback requirements for C4? And then what are the setback requirements for C3? And what is the developer proposing for setbacks? I don't know if anybody has the answer.
Are those your only questions?
Besides that, I do have a comment.
Okay, make your comment, and then we'll get your answers. Well,
thank you very much. I'd like to talk about Route 9 for a moment. And you're probably saying, why do you want to talk about Route 9? Well, eventually, Mulberry Knoll Road, that plan is to extend it from Route 24 all the way in front of Belterre, all the way over to Route 9. And my concern has to do with the traffic studies, and I know we're not supposed to talk about traffic, and I'm talking about Route 9, I get it. However, I'm really concerned about long-term Route 9. I think an unintended consequence is gonna be that Route 9 is gonna become, and to Mulberry Knoll, will become a bypass, bypassing that Five Points corridor. You're traveling along Route 9, you're gonna jump off at Mulberry Knoll Road and zip all the way to 24. And I'm concerned about the unintended consequences of heavy traffic that eventually are going to leak out onto Mulberry Knoll Road once that extension goes. And of course, I also have concerns about the roundabouts. I've been around retail areas before, and I've seen these roundabouts and tractor trailers just driving over them. The trailers don't make it over them. They're going over the concrete within the roundabout. I just don't see these roundabouts accommodating that type of truck traffic.
Well, they have to be built per Steldot code, so.
I understand, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
you. Appreciate the opportunity to chat.
If you'd like to have a seat, we'll get you some answers.
Splendid, thank you.
Madam Chair, I can assist really quickly with the setback question. So for a commercial project in C4, the front yard setback is 60 feet. So in this case, the front yard is 24. So it's measured from the street right-of-way line back. So 60 feet back, you see all the buildings comply with the 60 feet. When it comes to the side yard, it's 5 feet. So this is a side yard here. And when it comes to a rear yard, it's 5 feet. So this is 5 feet on this side here. If you have a corner front it's normally 15 feet. So it depends. If you have an intersection of two streets, normally you have a front and then you have a corner front, which is 15 feet.
I'm going to put you on the spot because the second part of that question was, would that be any different in C3?
C3.
C3 is 60 in the front. I need to check the side. C3 can have mixed use, so I need to check the table. Okay. But purely commercially, it should be 60, 15, 5, and 5. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. All the way in the back.
Hi, my name is Denise Croc. I am at Welch's Pond. So I am very much opposed, considering this complex is 20% larger than Christiana, which boggles my brain, considering there's over 3,000 parking spots in, you're talking like the Trader Joe, Costco, like area, not the entire Christiana area, but the Costco and then that area.
Say it's not,
it's 20% larger, yes. And what about the small business? Cop Seafood is right there. Grown to love them, grown to love their, you know, they're just a part of the community. So that's something else. And also no one's talking about, I know you don't want to hear about traffic, but what about the no one wanting to go down 24, so everyone's going to take all those side roads. So all those cute little roads and stuff coming down, whether it's Cedar Grove or whatever, to then come that way. And then also everybody is going to be turning right out of Mulberry, and then they're going to have to go down to those roundabouts. So it's just going to be a nightmare to get in and out. But okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? We'll take you in the back, ma'am.
Jennifer Heilman, Bourbon Circle in Belterre. I'm wondering if there's any plan for any light reduction, light pollution in a shopping center this size. I assume that the parking lot is going to be lit up all night long, as well as a lot of the buildings. Are there any plans for any
downward screen lighting
or requirements for down lighting?
Yeah, we have the ability to put conditions if it does get approved, so that would certainly be considered. Thank you. We appreciate your passion. We know you're not going to run through everything we've already heard already.
I'm not. I do want to address I'm Judy Rose Seibert. I do not reside in Belterre. I reside in Saddle Ridge in Lewis. And Mr. Whitehouse has a PowerPoint that I'm going to skip partly through, but I do want to address a couple of things. It's labeled CZ 2037 revised. I hope you put that up. Okay. Oh, yes, and I can click. All right. Oh, how do I erase that blue line?
Mr. Fuqua is now very...
Oh, all right. Well, I've never done that before.
What else are you erasing?
Okay. Oop. Why is this? Don't I right click to go to the next slide? Wheel? Oh, okay. How about that? Okay, so we have already talked about some of the minimum district requirements, but I did want to just point out to the commission, you know, that there is in there in the site plan review that it must be in accordance with all the requirements set forth in this section F. And people have already talked about the land area being served by adequate existing or planned infrastructure. I do want to say that this is a section from the Highway Capacity Manual. It's the latest edition, 7th edition. Actually, Route 24 Alliance acquired this from a traffic engineer who is a former DelDOT engineer. And if you look at the right-hand portion here, you see the capacity for four-lane streets. at LOSD, which is what the TID requirement requires. And there are various factors here which can affect the minimum or the maximum amount of capacity. And the maximum amount of capacity is 33,600 vehicles a day. And with this, so I am talking a little bit about traffic, but only something that hasn't been talked about yet. With this 26,000 vehicle trips from estimated from this application, that will put that four-lane section well over capacity. And, oh, I get to use my wheel now. Oops, I don't know how to do this. Okay, so there's the same slide, just a little larger. This is, of course, in thousands of cars. But I would also, and I had thought I had drawn a red box around this two-lane street at the LOSD, because just a short distance, it's actually, I think, a half a mile from where this proposed development would be, Route 24 narrows down from four lanes to two lanes. And there, the maximum traffic capacity is 15,900 vehicle trips a day. Let's see what comes next. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. So I was astonished at the DelDOT's response today, because contrary to what was stated, there is no plan set timeline. It's not in the CTP to dualize the Love Creek Bridge. And you should ask DelDOT to provide that CTP for you, because as of August of this year, it did not exist. And neither did, because I also, so this is a copy of an email from July of this year from Catherine Beasley of DelDOT, where I also asked about the dualization of Route 24 from Lexington Avenue, which is where Saddle Ridge is and where the entrance site to Belle Meade would be. There is, as it says here, no further widening. Oops, I cannot use this friggin' mouse. No further widening of Route 24 is currently programmed at this time. So there is no CTP for that widening from Lexington Avenue west to Love Creek Bridge. So you are going to have an extreme bottleneck there. Okay, let's go on. Oops, I'm sorry. Some people have referred to what's it going to be like for people further down southwest from this site. So unfortunately, there is no, this intersection for Hart's Landing and Bookhammer Estates is not in the TIS for Atlantic Acres. But if you look at case three, I wish I could use this mouse. That's the third set of data here. So, and in this column, on a summer Saturday, to turn right out of their subdivision, they will have to wait 547 seconds.
Can I ask, though, real quick, because you're not a traffic engineer.
I know, I'm not. But this is what's...
What's the basis for this report, though? Because we have to make sure that, you know, if we're going to act on this based on the evidence, that there's some empirical basis in the evidence for the action we take.
You can go to the Belle Meade TIS, and it's in there by McCormick Taylor.
That's not part of the record tonight, though.
I am hoping to make it part of the record tonight, because it is germane to those subdivisions that are below this application, because they were not, the TIS was not concluded, was not done for those.
But they're only required to include what DelDOT requires them to include,
okay,
so it's a moot point.
What I'm trying to give you an idea is that it will take people 9 minutes to turn right out of their subdivision.
Okay? Let's move on.
All right. Also, I wanted to, these are excerpts from the minutes that you all had about North Star in July 17th of 2024. Well, one thing it has to do with is that you pressed Dowdot about who was whether a road could accommodate the additional capacity. And Dowdot, my whole point here is that Dowdot stated that it was not their prerogative to state whether the road could handle the additional capacity. They only did the analysis, and they provided you with the data, and that you then, P&Z, and then later County Council, were to make those land use decisions.
I think that's pretty much what they said tonight. They told us the facts that they have.
Okay, all right. Okay, oh, this was a duplicate. So, let's see. I don't know. Well, in conclusion, I would just like to say that this does not meet one of the minimum district requirements for having adequate planned or existing infrastructure, because the infrastructure for the part of Route 24 that is only two lane and Love Creek Bridge is not going to be completed until well, many years after the completion of this project. And there will be an extreme traffic problem. And please do not allow that to happen. We're counting on you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition?
For the benefit of the record, what Ms. Seibert presented is in the record that is uploaded on the docket, so that's part of the record.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Celia McDermott. I live in Belterre. I've been there for 6 weeks, and this has been a surprise. We did look into, you know, we did due diligence. We thought, whatever, but this has been a surprise. But a couple things, it's sort of traffic related, but not really. I heard Mr. Fuque say that all along Mulberry Knoll Road, there would be a median. And I don't know how that would work. There hasn't been subsequent conversation about widening the road, like what is actually the plan. I know that the developer said that they would take care of the land where the development was, and I heard that there would be consideration at the roundabout at the other end, but you have, and nobody has mentioned also the State Troop 7 that's right there. So will they, how will they get out to make a left?
We were talking about the interconnection with that.
I didn't hear that.
Yep.
And another consideration I was wondering about is, again, I'm new to the area, but I'm one of the people that have flocked to the area because I escaped Metro Atlanta that had this kind of crap going on for the past 10 years where their infrastructure wasn't built before new communities and new buildings and new stores and new businesses were built without the infrastructure. So the traffic was horrendous. So that's where I came from. So a little bit of traffic, and I apologize for that. And also I came here for the beauty of the area, and I'm just discovering, I still have my GPS on when I'm driving. I finally figured out I go left to go to Lewis and I go right to go to Rehoboth, but other than that, I need my GPS. But I did drive down 24 to pick my daughter up at the airport at Salisbury, and I got to go over Love Creek Bridge, which was my first time. And it's beautiful. It's so, so pretty. So is anybody doing an environmental impact study on even just, why are we even talking about widening something that is so beautiful? Why are we talking about this? You know, it's only to accommodate this C4. You know,
no, it's not. It's to accommodate all the other traffic too.
Well, yeah. Okay.
And not that this won't add to it. I'm not suggesting that, but
okay.
Yeah, that's why.
And
there's
again,
a lot of discussion about Love Creek expansion, and Mr. Collins brought that up earlier. It's been on the books for a while.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so is the EPA being involved in any of this?
They have to go through all the agency approvals for anything like that. Yeah.
Okay, and I know that they said that they're not on a waterway, but our neighborhood is actually on a waterway. There's a waterway behind it that feeds into Love Creek, that feeds into the bay. Yeah. And yeah. I just want to make sure that we're not going to bring extra pollution into the area when the reason that I'm saying we because I live here now, the reason that so many people have moved to this area is because of the beauty of it.
I know.
So not because there's a Costco. I had access to six Costcos where I lived in Atlanta, and I like Costco. There's also Costco.com. And it's very convenient. You don't need to drive to it. So that's all. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate your words. All right. Is there anybody else? Plug for Costco tonight. Okay. Anybody else? Going once? Twice? Okay. Well, anybody have any further questions? No? I know. So to that point, the people that are here for this hearing are probably going to want to leave, and we still have another hearing to go through. So please do so quietly, because we need to continue with our meeting.
Unless you want to stay, so talk about Marlin Cove.
Yes. So,